Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review dated Thursday, June 18th, 2026. We'll begin with an article on the front page headlined, Pritzker Approves $56 Billion Budget. Measure Delays Gas Tax, New Taxes to Hit Social Media, Fantasy Sports, by Ben Zielinski, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the eighth budget of his tenure on Tuesday. As he and Illinois Democrats gear up for an election year battle centered around affordability, though he had to issue a cleanup veto aimed at addressing late-night drafting errors. The fiscal year 2027 spending and corresponding revenue plans that will take effect on July 1st total $55.9 billion, which is slightly less than what Pritzker initially proposed in February. Though that's about $900 million more than what lawmakers initially approved for fiscal year 2026, discretionary spending will be largely flat year over year after lawmakers approved supplemental spending for the current year. The FY27 budget raises hundreds of millions in new taxes, however, focusing on businesses, social media, fantasy sports, and digital assets. Despite calls from progressive lawmakers to more aggressively increase taxes on businesses and the ultra-wealthy, which largely did not materialize, the budget passed with relative ease in both chambers around 4 a.m. June 1st, with all Republicans voting against it and just a few dissenting Democrats. In a year marked by economic uncertainty, rising costs, and unprecedented fiscal challenges created by Donald Trump and the MAGA Congress, Illinois has once again demonstrated that responsible governing and balanced budgets go hand in hand with making life more affordable for working families and investing in the future, Pritzker said. Though the budget contains fewer bells and whistles than might have been expected in an election year plan designed to attract voters, Pritzker said Democrats' spending priorities stand in sharp contrast to Republican initiatives at the federal level. In Washington, they continue to run massive deficits and pile debt onto future generations to fund tax breaks for corporations, brutal ICE occupations, vanity projects like a new White House ballroom, painting the reflecting pool blue, which already is an epic fail, and holding UFC matches on the White House lawn, Pritzker said. Illinois lawmakers included some tax breaks in the budget. It pushes the 1.3 cent gas tax increase that was scheduled for July 1st back until after the election to January 1st. It also reduces the sales tax on school supplies from 6.25% to 1.25% between August 7th through 16th. Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, who is running her own race for U.S. Senate, compared those breaks to Trump's comment last week that he loves the inflation. She said Illinois' budget should be a model for other states. We have never lost sight of your family's budget, Stratton said. From groceries to gas to health care, everything is more expensive right now. And families in every corner of our state are feeling the squeeze and letting us know it's getting harder and harder to make ends meet. Pritzker also reminded voters he took office in 2019, shortly after a two-year budget impasse, during which many state services were depleted. Preempting criticism from Republicans that spending has grown significantly under his tenure, Pritzker argued it has grown slower than the rate of inflation and the federal budget. It is worth pausing to reflect on just how far we have come in Illinois, he said. 7.5 years ago, our state faced an entirely different reality. House Republican leader Tony McCombie, Republican Savannah, said new taxes in the budget contradict Pritzker's message. Governor Pritzker can't campaign on affordability, then govern through tax hikes, she said in a statement. By signing this budget, He chose to put more spending and more pressure on family budgets instead of pursuing property tax relief, energy affordability, and economic growth. Pritzker issued what are known as item and reduction vetoes on the budget, reducing or eliminating erroneous line items, such as removing $500 billion for an NAACP branch and cutting $60 million for a youth employment program to $30 million that were apparently included inadvertently. The thousands of pages of budget legislation came to fruition in the final 24 hours of the spring session and passed after 4 a.m. June 1st. The bill can take effect despite the vetoes because the state constitution gives the governor the authority to alter line items. Lawmakers could overturn the reductions, though Pritzker said he made the move in consultation with them. Majority Leader Robin Gabel and Senator L.G. Sims Jr., the House and Senate sponsors, respectively, of the bill, have identified a number of individual appropriation lines included in the enrolled bill sent to me for consideration that either contain errors or are duplicative of other appropriation lines already contained in the bill, Pritzker said in his veto message. Upon review, I concur with their assessment. New taxes on businesses. Democrats approved hundreds of millions of dollars in new revenue through new taxes on social media companies, businesses, digital asset sales, and fantasy sports. Social media companies would be taxed on a progressive scale, starting with platforms with 100,000 to 499,999 users paying 10 cents per month for each user, all the way up to platforms with at least 1 million users paying a $165,000 fee, plus 50 cents per each user each month. Though a similar tax in Chicago is being challenged in court, the state still expects to collect $200 million in revenue from the tax Pritzker proposed in February. Pritzker said he's confident it'll survive legal scrutiny. Lawmakers also granted Pritzker's request to lower the cap on corporate net operating loss deductions for businesses, which would generate about $300 million in new revenue. A new 0.2% tax on digital asset sales will take effect January 1st and raise $60 million for the state. Lawmakers also established a licensing process for fantasy sports operators. Each business granted a license will pay a 15% tax on receipts from fantasy contests. The state is expected to receive $5 million from it, but participants in the leagues themselves will not be taxed. Sports bets made on prediction markets will also be taxed, starting at 1.75%. Remote tobacco retailers will have to collect taxes from the sale of cigars, pipe tobacco, and alternative nicotine products to Illinois customers. That's expected to generate $3.8 million. There's another new tax that lawmakers aren't planning to collect this year. The revenue package creates a targeted advertising services tax, more commonly known as a digital ad tax. It would be a 10% tax on providers of digital ad services on revenue from those ads over $1 million. Lawmakers expect it will face legal challenges, but its inclusion in the budget satisfies progressives who demanded more aggressive taxes on businesses. Business organizations, however, are worried small businesses will be hit hardest by paying a tax on revenue derived from digital ads, as those ads account for the bulk of their marketing. Lawmakers also decoupled Illinois tax code from the federal code and will now require individuals who sell small business stocks within 5 years of buying it to pay taxes on their gains. The budget itself does not eliminate tax incentives for data centers, but Pritzker has directed the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity to pause processing those requests at the beginning of FY27. It's not clear how much that will save the state. The budget also sweeps dollars from several funds to boost spending, including diverting $150 million in sales tax revenue from motor fuel to the General Revenue Fund once public transportation is fully funded. Little new spending. Spending will be relatively flat in FY27, and the budget includes about $65 million in reductions for government operations, House Majority Leader Robin Gabel, Democrat Evanston, said during debate over the budget in the House weeks ago. There is no budget that solves every problem. There is no budget that finishes the work. But this budget definitely moves us forward, said House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch, Democrat, Hillside. The budget raises a key program to respond to federal cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The budget establishes the Families Receiving Emergency Support for Hunger, or FRESH program, and people who have lost or seen their SNAP benefits reduced would be eligible for a one-time $400 payment. The program is scheduled to last just 1 year and is estimated to cost about $70 million. The state also plans to spend $55 million to hire 450 new employees at the Department of Human Services, including to help update the state's systems to comply with federal changes to SNAP and Medicaid eligibility. But not all state agencies were winners in the budget. Attorney General Kwame Raoul is not happy with the funding he got, as his office struggles to keep up with high caseloads. We were shorted about $10 million from what our overall appropriation was for fiscal year 26, and I can't imagine why, Raoul said on June 9th at a City Club of Chicago event, adding, all iterations of it, all the way until 3 a.m. in the morning, had us fully funded. Pritzker said he expects money the attorney general will receive from winning settlements to make up the difference, and Raoul deserves as much support as we can provide him. Local governments are getting more funding than expected. After Pritzker's initial proposal, however, lawmakers allowed the percentage of the income tax that they receive to stay flat at 6.47% after Pritzker proposed reducing it. Because of natural income tax growth, the total dollar amount received will grow. Illinois lawmakers are also in line for a roughly 3% pay raise, which will bring their base salaries to $101,450. State law ties their pay each year to the rate of inflation. Lawmakers also appropriated $143 million to the health care program for undocumented immigrant seniors and $4 million for welcoming centers that provide services to immigrants arriving in Illinois. Direct service providers will receive a 60-cent wage increase, which is half of what is recommended. The state's rainy day fund will grow by an estimated $197 million in other state funds, though lawmakers didn't direct any new general funds toward it. It also fully funds pensions and extends a buyout program for 2 years aimed at reducing unfunded liabilities. When the state's income tax refund fund carries a surplus of $150 million or more, money over that amount will be directed to pensions. State Republican leader John Curran, Republican Downers Grove, was still displeased with the larger spending plan, which is the largest in state history, despite its minimal growth. Record spending, supported by $800 million in tax increases, while Illinois families are forced to make cuts in their own households, is not a responsible budget, Curran said in a statement. It does nothing to address the structural deficits that directly result in Illinois being a bottom six state in both economic growth and job opportunities under Governor Pritzker. Other spending measures include $263.7 million from Home Illinois, the state's primary homelessness prevention program, $5 million to continue the medical debt relief pilot program, $19.8 million more to improve reimbursement rates for Department of Children and Family Services partners, $18 million for reproductive health initiatives, $111 million for the Reimagine Public Safety Program aimed at reducing gun violence, $5 million to continue the nonprofit security grant program, $103 million more for personal services at correctional facilities, including for hiring additional correctional officers, $2 million for two new Illinois State Police cadet classes to train 100 new troopers, $200 million for infrastructure grants, $100 million for the Site Readiness Program to prepare unused state land for development, $1.2 billion for lead service line replacement, $32.8 million for a hemp and cannabis testing facility in central Illinois, $1.4 billion for deferred maintenance at state facilities, including colleges and universities, $500 million for downstate road and bridge construction, $143 million for the health care program for undocumented immigrant seniors. Education. Pritzker said he authorized an additional 2% spending increase for higher education in the current year, which was initially held back over fears federal funding cuts could hamper the FY26 budget's ability to remain balanced. Instead, revenue is higher than expected, and colleges and universities will receive about $30 million more. However, the FY27 budget, signed on Tuesday, calls for increasing higher education funding by 1%. The budget fully funds the annual evidence-based funding increase for K-12 schools, including restoring $47 million for property tax relief grants that were not included in FY26. School districts must agree to reduce their tax levy for 3 years to receive the grants, however. Funding for free breakfast and lunch programs at public schools also tripled to $26 million. When Washington threatens food assistance for families, Illinois is investing in children and making sure more students can get a healthy meal at school, Welch said. The budget appropriates $10.8 billion to the State Board of Education, which is about $120 million more than Pritzker requested, but less than the agency hoped for. Some funds are also shifting out of ISBE this year to the new Department of Early Childhood, which will become active on July 1st. Other education spending includes $748 million for the Early Childhood Block Grant, which continues funding for Pritzker's Smart Start Preschool Initiative, $15 million for the Teacher Vacancy Grant Pilot Program, $721.6 million for the Monetary Award Program, or MAP, an amount equal to FY26. What's happening? Civil War reenactments are this weekend. Lerna. Community members are encouraged to bring out their dads or other history buffs in their lives for Civil War reenactment activities on Father's Day weekend at Lincoln Log Cabin State Historic Site. Visitors will learn about the men who answered President Abraham Lincoln's call for troops in 1861, those who remained on the home front, and those on the other side during this event from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, June 20th, and Sunday, June 21st. Those in attendance also will be able to visit with General Ulysses S. Grant and President Lincoln, as well as Civil War soldier and civilian reenactors. They will also get to watch mounted and dismounted drilling exercises and participate in an 1858 rules baseball game. Special presentations are scheduled throughout the weekend, and a dance that is open to the public will be held on Saturday evening. The Goose Nest Prairie Gift Shop will be open and offer Father's Day present ideas. Admission to the Civil War weekend will be free. Reenactors interested in attending can email info@lincolnlogcabin.org for more information. Midsummer Moon Hosting Auditions. Oriana. Auditions have been announced for the Midsummer Moon Productions fall production of Seussical. Actors from children to adults can audition from 6 to 9 p.m. on June 20th and June 30th at the Oriana Baptist Church, 107 West Bower. July 2nd is reserved for callbacks. Seussical brings to life all of Dr. Seuss's famous characters. Those auditioning should prepare a 30-second or 16-measure vocal audition in the genre of musical theater. They will also need to recite a 1-minute memorized monologue or poem. And they should wear comfortable clothing and shoes for the choreography portion of the audition. No pianist will be available, but actors can use recorded accompaniment or sing a cappella. The show dates will be September 18th through 20th at the Decatur Civic Center. For more information, call 217-791-2658 or email midsummermoonproductions@gmail.com. The Devon to host Juneteenth event, Decatur. The Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater is hosting a Juneteenth celebration beginning at 3 p.m. on Friday, June 19th. The free event will have vendors, food trucks, local entertainment, dance performances, and a scholarship giveaway. Live music will be provided by Clifton Jones and the Anointed Friends, as well as Capital Sound. Family activities will include face painting and kids' crafts. The first 250 attendees get Juneteenth bucks for food trucks. For more information, visit the Devon website. Weekly Summer Food Preservation Series Set, Arthur. University of Illinois Extension will offer the Saving the Season Summer Food Preservation Series on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 a.m., beginning June 24th and continuing through August 26th at the Moultrie Douglas Extension Office, 304 East Progress Street, Arthur. The series will provide participants with information on a variety of home food preservation methods to help safely preserve seasonal produce for year-round use. Attendees will gather to watch recorded Illinois Extension presentations and discuss food preservation topics with others in the community. Registration is not required. The series is open to anyone interested in learning research-based food preservation techniques and exploring ways to safely store and enjoy locally grown foods throughout the year. The program topics include June 24th, canning foods at home. July 1st, boiling water bath canners. July 8th, pressure canners. July 15th, making jams and jellies at home. July 22nd, freezing foods at home. July 29th, fermenting foods at home. August 5th, preserving apples at home. August 12th, processing tomatoes at home. August 19th, pickling foods at home. August 26th, dehydrating foods at home. Forsyth to celebrate nation's anniversary. Forsyth. The Forsyth Fest, celebrating the 250th anniversary of the United States, will be Friday and Saturday, June 19th and 20th, at Forsyth Veterans Park. Activities including inflatables, a photo booth, face painting, food trucks, and the beer garden with live entertainment will begin at 5 p.m. Friday. Festivities will continue Saturday with the parade kicking off at 10 a.m. More activities will include a zip line, a petting zoo, vendor shopping, the bags tournament, and bingo with a mechanical bull and the band Capital Sound starting at 6 p.m. A special dedication will be held with the unveiling of the village mural at 3 p.m. Saturday. The community artwork is made up of several tiles created by Forsyth citizens. For more information, updates, or maps, follow the Forsyth Facebook page. Decatur Native plans book signing event. Decatur. Avery Irons, a Decatur native and author of Belonging to the Air, will hold a reading and book signing at Decatur Public Library, 5:30 to 8 p.m. Thursday, June 18th in the Madden Auditorium. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. with the presentation beginning at 6 p.m. Irons is a graduate of Stephen Decatur High School and the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. She earned her Juris Doctor from Columbia University School of Law in New York City. In addition to Belonging to the Air, Irons is the author of the novella Glass Men, winner of Big Fiction Magazine's Novella Prize. Her short fiction has appeared in the African American Review, Sinister Wisdom, and Ragazine. Irons examines themes of migration, identity, belonging, and family across generations of Black and queer communities in America. The June 18th event will include author readings, a discussion of the creative process behind Belonging to the Air, audience Q&A, and an opportunity for attendees to meet the author and have books signed. The event is open to the public. 14 Years Prison for a Drug Dealer by Tony Reed, Decatur. A Decatur drug dealer who told the cops who arrested him he made $1,000 a week is now out of business after being sentenced to 14 years in prison. Therese A. Bond, 51, took a plea deal when he appeared in Macon County Circuit Court and admitted to selling cocaine. The defendant was arrested October 4, 2024, after detectives with the Decatur Police Department executed a search warrant at his home in the 500 block of South Siegel Street. A sworn affidavit filed by the police said officers seized 1.5 pounds of cocaine in the powder and crack forms of the drug, along with 2.25 pounds of synthetic cannabis, 1 pound of actual cannabis, and 3 ounces of methamphetamine pills. Bond told detectives the varying weights of drugs he sold and that he made approximately $1,000 a week selling narcotics, said Detective Brent Morey, who signed the affidavit. The detective said Bond has previous convictions for drug possession and drug dealing, and his home had been under surveillance before police raided it. Morey said, in addition to the drugs, officers seized 7 firearms, including an AK-47 rifle and a semi-automatic handgun, both of which were found to have been stolen. Bond also has been charged with 2 counts of being an armed habitual criminal and being a felon in possession of a weapon, but those charges were dropped as part of the plea deal. The defendant was sentenced June 3rd, and presiding judge Thomas Griffith agreed to recommend him for substance abuse treatment while he is incarcerated. Bond's prison sentence was ordered to be served at 75%. Well, we'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, June 18th, 2026. Please stay tuned.